This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some men and women around you who have some stories to tell, and when you take the time to listen, it might change your perspective a little bit. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot in these glimpses into history from people who lived it in places like Wasco, California. That's where I am today. This year, Wasco High School is celebrating its centennial, 100 years, and two guys who went to that school we're going to hear from today. They happen to be brothers. They were growing up just a stone's throw from where we are today, where they both live on some acreage of pistachio trees and a whole lot of impressive brickwork around here. And the hands that laid those bricks belong to Emery Crawford, 90 years old. You're a Wasco lifer, huh? How old were you when you moved to this town?
I was 5 years old when we moved to Wasco from Long Beach.
And you've been here ever since, except for Uncle Sam's little detour, huh?
Yes, that's right. I've always been farming here all my life. I guess I'm going to stay here.
I guess so, and it's going to be a while because obviously you're still as active as just about anybody. You just showed me a video of you and your little brother David parasailing at Lake Tahoe just a few months ago. So I know you're a thrill seeker, and one of the thrills you two had was going on an honor flight to Washington, D.C. I want to talk about that too. But take me way, way back to when you first moved here to Wasco, California, a little northwest of Bakersfield in California's San Joaquin Valley. What was it like here during the Great Depression out in a farm community like Wasco?
When my father lived in Long Beach and he worked in the oil fields, and he had a sister that lived here in Wasco, so he had a chance to farm at 20 acres. And they farmed it with a team of mules. There wasn't any tractors in. I was a very bashful boy. I wasn't very good around company. I knew my family, and I associated with them, but outside of that, I didn't. And so when I started school, I had problems, and I grew up all the way through grade school, through high school, and I was in the FFA, which really helped me get to know people and associate with people. And I admired those people that could get up in front of people and talk and everything. But since I went to Honor Flight, my life has completely changed. And I talk all the time now to different people. And it's been a great thing for me.
And that never happened until Honor Flight?
That's correct.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement, and regular listeners have heard me talk a lot about Honor Flight. It's an effort going on all over the country to take our World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to see their memorial, and you were on one of the very first flights, I think the second flight ever from Kern County, Honor Flight Kern County. They're still taking people from this area to Washington, D.C., and you got to take your little brother with you. What was that like to share that experience with him?
Well, it was, I guess, one of the great experiences of my life is to go on back to Washington and visit and see the memorials and the cemetery and going into the Capitol. They were people just come right up to you and shake your hand and thank you. And I got more hugs from women then than anywhere.
You know, all those guys who we haven't been able to convince to take this flight, now they're ready to go after you said that line about all the hugs.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And David, he's kind of into aviation, and he liked to go to the aviation museum, and he got to see the Enola Gay, and that was a good experience for him, I know.
And a lot of people go on an honor flight, and they have a great experience, and they share it with a guardian, whether that's a family member or not, and they have the chance to get to those memorials and remember the guys they knew who didn't come home from the war. But not everybody stays involved the way you have. Now, every time Honor Flight Kern County makes a trip, you're there to send them off and greet them when they come home?
We make it a habit to try to go to all of the Honor Flight when they leave and when they come in to give them a send-off and welcome them home, because I know what an experience it was for me.
Well, and this honor flight, all those flights are commercial flights, so a lot of those takeoffs are early in the morning, and they get home late at night. You're out there at 10 o'clock at night waiting for these guys?
Yeah, sometimes it was almost 12 o'clock when they got in. But we want to be out there to welcome them in.
Why do you do that? What do you get out of it?
Well, I enjoy it, and I guess it's a good experience for me as well as for them. And I want them to enjoy the time when they come home and see all of the people that are there to welcome them, and it's an excitement to me.
Well, and if I'm going to ask Big Brother, I guess I got to ask younger brother. David Crawford's 88 years old. He's back in Wasco after more than six decades in Oklahoma, but you shared that honor flight with your brother, and you heard what he was just saying about it. What have you gotten out of this connection to honor flight? It seems like it gives you guys a lot of energy here.
Well, it gives us a chance to go talk to other vets, and we really enjoy talking, at least I do. Or that was a great experience going out to Washington for me. Arlington was kind of emotional.
You just heard your brother say the change that the honor flight experience produced in him. Have you seen that? Does he seem like a different guy to you?
Well, yes, he's more talkative now. And we enjoy going there early and being able to talk with all the other vets there. We always stay pretty close together. Fact is, where we're at now at these places, them women say, you watch out for them two old men.
Yeah, now that you guys are kind of roommates here, it's like being in college again or something, huh?
Yeah, we try to think of places to go now. We got time. We're going to go to just about anything we can find that we want to go to.
Watch out, world. The Crawford boys are coming. So, Emery, let me come back to you. I asked you about the depression. And one of the reasons I like to ask veterans about that is so many of them said that was a really valuable experience to live through that time. And so many of us alive today really don't know what it was like. Was it hard during the Depression around these parts?
It was very hard. There was a grove of trees down about an eighth of a mile where we live, and they were migrant workers from Oklahoma, moved into those trees, put up tents, and lived there. No electricity, no water, no toilets. They just tried to get work. There wasn't enough work to keep them all busy. And we lived on a 20 acres, and we had lots of chickens. So we had chickens to eat, and we raised some hogs and had hogs. I always ran a big garden. My mother would spend the summer canning fruit and vegetables. We had two cows, and me and David done the milking. We didn't have a refrigerator to start with. She put the milk out on the table, and she'd let the creams rise to the top, and she'd skim it off. And it is me and David's job to, with a crock churn to start with, to churn that cream. She had a butter mold, and she would mold it. And she had eggs and milk to sell, and she had a route that customers that she could deliver them to. To start with, she didn't have a washing machine. She done the laundry in a tub with the rub board, and then she hung clothes up on the line. And you know, one night with the clothes out there, somebody come and got all those clothes off the clothesline, and that was a big loss to us at that time. But because we had the chickens and the garden and all, we got by real well, considering. But those people that migrated from Oklahoma and the other areas because of the Dust Bowl, they really had a hard time. And I can see a lot of them nowadays, they really turned out good.
The other kind of unforgettable historical event that just about everyone I've talked to has a memory of, if they were alive then, and certainly you were in high school, December 7th, 1941. Do you remember how you found out about Pearl Harbor?
You know, I don't remember. David, he says he remembers, but I don't remember. I was probably in school.
Well, let me ask David if he says he remembers. What do you remember? You were a little younger, so you were probably, I guess you were a freshman in high school probably, huh? What do you remember about that day?
Well, they called us all into assembly and was telling us all about the Japanese, how they bombed Pearl Harbor there. Of course, at the time, all I seen was that little tiny island over there of Japan. I thought, well, that won't be no problem. But they really tore us up there at Pearl Harbor, though.
So you were at Wasco High School, and they brought everyone into the gym or something to tell them about it?
Big auditorium there at Wasco here.
Did it hit you that at some point you might have to end up in the military?
Well, yes. I'd looking forward to it, but my mother wasn't.
Especially after your brother went in, I bet. Your mother really probably held on to you then.
I'll tell you, she really worried about Emory.
Well, how did you, Emory, end up in the Army? You ended up serving with the 255th Infantry Regiment of the 63rd Infantry Division in Europe. But how did you end up in the Army?
I was drafted. They put me in the infantry, into the Army as an infantry, and I had my basic training in Capua, Texas. When I started to go overseas, I got on a troop train and went to the East Coast to spend Christmas there. There was families that would take in veterans and furnish them with a dinner, and I went out with a couple, had a nice dinner. I didn't drink any kind of alcoholic drink or smoke, but they had a nice meal, and they had wine, and it embarrassed me that I wouldn't drink wine with them. I got on a merchant ship that was converted to a troop ship, I think about a three-week trip, going over to Le Havre, France. I was in a convoy. We got into a storm that rocked the boat way over almost 45 degrees. Water was coming over the deck, and they locked us below deck for 3 days. The head got plugged up. Stuff was going across the floor. Soldiers were getting sick. But, you know, I never got sick, but, boy, it was a mess.
I guess so. When you say stuff was going across the floor, you mean some real dirty, foul, smelly stuff going across the floor.
Yes, stuff from the bathroom. Yeah, it was a mess. And we tried to eat first during that storm by standing up at the counter or with our plates. You take your hand off the plate, it was gone. And broke. We broke I don't know how many plates during that time. So they stopped feeding us with plates and giving us box lunches and things instead. That was an experience just on the boat going over to Le Havre, France.
Yeah, were you a little scared there, wondering if you're ever going to go fight the enemy, if you're going to survive this trip across the Atlantic?
Well, I wondered about it, but, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you don't think about death. You don't think anything's ever going to happen to you. And I guess I kind of felt that way, that never thought about being killed. But I think that may be in the minds of most young people when they go into service. But when you get on the front line and you face the enemy, things change.
And we'll hear about how that changed for Emory Crawford when we come back. Hop on to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page for photos of Emory and his brother David, even video from just a couple months back of these two World War II veterans parasailing at Lake Tahoe. Can you believe that? Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Remember when the bank gave you free checking and savings accounts, even making money for you when you kept your dollars there? Paul Leffler here to say I've recaptured those days, and you can too with EECU. It's not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that just keeps growing and growing. The newest branch is in Tulare, and nearly a quarter million EECU members represent 10 different California counties. As little as $250 in a savings account earns you dividends. And access is so easy. 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And I haven't even told you what I love most about EECU, the credit union's support of causes up and down our area, like Central Valley Honor Flight. Close to 500 World War II veterans have gotten to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. for free because of the leadership and financial support of EECU. Ready to join the team yet? Call 1-800-538-3328.